morning and welcome to Crosslink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski and I am the host of Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. Today is the Sugar Show. Woohoo! And we will be speaking and talking again today about sugar and what kind of sugar is in the news, or rather what kind of news about sugar is there. It is the middle of August-ish, and I am going to go backwards and forwards a little bit about some of the news about sweeteners and artificial sweeteners. Before I get into that, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about the mastermind that I'll be doing with dental hygienists and dental hygiene teams on starting in September again. We will be going on to our next topic. And there are a couple of openings still for members to be in this mastermind group. I think that it's real important for dental hygienists to kind of work with other hygienists to try to get some of this oral systemic science moving into their practice. And not everybody has a good idea or a good handle on how that should look or how that should be. So that's what I've done with my mastermind group. So a bunch of hygienists from across the country get together online once a week, and we talk about ways to incorporate the science into the clinical dental practice. And our first month was in July, and we talked about incorporating more diabetes education and diabetes science into the practice and how it could change the practice. And what we all agreed was that the conversations with the patients had changed quite a bit, and that they had a better handle on how to incorporate different things and even have a plan in mind on how to start doing blood testing in the office just to check for diabetes on their periodontal patients. So that is the up and coming. It is starting September 1st. Where's my calendar? Tuesday, September 1st. We meet at noon Central Time on Tuesdays. So the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. We'll be talking about periodontal disease again and diabetes. So we'll be restarting that same mastermind with new people. So I hope that you'll be able to join us. You can join us by contacting me at Shirley@crosslinkradio.com, or you can go to my Purple Guide website, rdhpurpleguide.com, and click over to services and sign up there. I hope to see you soon and continue with this passion of mine to incorporate this oral systemic science into the practice, where dental hygienists can impact their patients more and patients can expect to have a higher level of treatment. So with that being out of the way now, I would like to talk about some studies, not studies, but some articles that have come up in the last little while about sugar and different ways of looking at sugar and sugar substitutes and blah, blah, sugar. It's a crazy, crazy time, as we've pointed out a number of times. And this idea that sugar is so pervasive, it's in everything good. It is an evolutionary kind of response that's ingrained and inbred into humans to seek out sweetness, and how that has protected us over the epochs. And now we're in a situation where we are dying because of the amount of sugar that we're eating. And I don't know that that is too strong a statement, that we are dying because we are just having too much access. It's just too much of a good thing. There are reports that tell us that sugar is as addictive as cocaine. It affects the pleasure areas of the brain, and that it's super hard to kick. And so that gives you an idea as to why humans are seeking out and indulging in so much sugar the same way a cocaine addict will indulge in cocaine, even though they know it's not good for them and that it's impending or impeding their livelihood and their life on the planet. So we've got these two things happening, and because sugar doesn't give us the same physiological effects as cocaine, we've kind of allowed it to happen. We have confections, we have ways of getting different sweetnesses out of different plants. In the United States, as we've mentioned a number of times on this show, we break things down and we just pull out the parts that we want. And like with our discussion on stevia a couple of weeks ago, the leaf of the stevia has enormous health properties and it is healthful, but you can't buy stevia leaves in the United States. But you can buy this molecular component of the stevia leaf that is sweet. There are two main components that we talked about, and one is really, really healthful and good, but it's expensive to get out, and the other is just sweet. So guess what? You can't buy the whole thing. You can buy a part of it, but the wrong part. So I don't know. It's just kind of a crazy system. And it kind of is what's driving this movement. And this big scientific area of finding different sweeteners or different ways to manipulate molecules into tasting sweets so that we can have what are called high-intensity sweeteners. I was at an Aubon presentation yesterday. Excuse me, I'm still having a little mucus problem here. And one of the products was this little sleeve that of something that you pour into water, a little fizz something, so you can pour it into your bottle of water. And so someone asked what the sweetener was, and she said stevia. Now, I haven't looked further into it, but I can tell you that because of the sugar show, I know that stevia is an intense sweetener, that it's extremely more sweet than sugar. And that in order to put stevia into one of those sleeves, you would have to use just a tiny fleck. And what if that fleck is the fleck that stays on the package when you're putting it in? So I have my doubts. I would imagine that there are other carriers in there that will contribute to the sweetness. But whatever, that is what's driving this. And this article here is from the New York Times. Well, it started out as, yeah, there it is, the New York Times, in the section called Upshot, New Health Care. The New Health Care Evidence Supports Artificial Sweeteners Over Sugar. Now, when we talked to Dr. Abraham, we found that NutraSweet, or aspartame, is not as horrible as we thought. It does not break down into some caustic elements. There are reasons not to use it, obviously, and there are reasons that you may want to use it as you're creating products, because it is an intense sweetener that's thousands of times sweeter than sugar. So this article here was big all over the place, or this reported on the big all over the place news, that artificial sweeteners aren't as damaging as sugar is. So that is kind of where a lot of the science is landing. And by doing that, by landing there, it allows these chemical companies to continue to move their agenda forward or their products forward. And people are supposed to be more tolerant of these artificial sweeteners. However, I'm sitting here thinking, we're missing the point here. It's along the same lines as almond milk or soy milk. There's very little soy, there's very little almond, and there's a bunch of chemicals in there, including a pile of sugar, because it's a ridiculous product. If you can't have milk, don't have milk. That's all there is. There's no other way to go. You can use milk replacements that give you the liquid content that you may be looking for in baking, but you certainly don't need to have cereal with milk on it that comes from almonds or comes from oats or whatever. It's kind of a crazy idea. Milk in general, cow's milk, is not really healthy for humans, so we shouldn't be having it. We shouldn't be looking for alternatives to it, because any alternative is going to have a molecular structure that's going to be interfering somewhere along the line with the physiological necessities of the human body. So I'm not a huge fan. I get it. If I want to have a Diet Coke every now and then, once every 2 or 5 months or something, that's not going to be a problem. The problem comes in of where kids have enough money to buy whatever they want that's junk food that their parents don't allow them to have. And then all of a sudden they have a six-pack in a day, and then they have a case-a-day habit all of a sudden. And the next thing you know, they're wondering why this and that is happening to them, and it really could be coming right from this incredible amount of soft drink that people drink, and they think that they're avoiding the sugar by adding these intense sweeteners, these artificial sweeteners, and it kind of defeats the purpose of getting rid of the sugar, because we don't have a good idea. We don't know exactly what's happening there. So that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about today. And then this is from August, so it's from today's news. The government is trying to talk to different countries for clearing accumulated sugar products produced in India, Union Commerce Minister said today. We just started working on it because quantum of sugar is annually getting accumulated. In the last 4 years, it has been quite substantial. So here we are. We are no longer eating as much sugar in the United States. The push towards more and more sugar is affecting, I don't know if we can call India a third world country, but growers across the globe are feeling the impact of this economic impact of the United States cutting back on sugar and the World Health Organization recommending that only 5% of our daily calories come from sugar. So what do we do about that? According to the government, actions of the United States over the last 50, 75 years, what they did here in the United States is they subsidized not sugar growers per se, but certainly growers of products that no longer held their value, like corn. So instead of providing the farmers an option to farm something else, they paid them for growing corn, and then they bought up the corn, and then they had to find a use for all this corn. And the researchers and the scientists figured out that they could make pretty cheap sweeteners called high fructose corn syrup. So blah, 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 and la, la, la. What are we going to do with these sugar piles? Should we subsidize? Should we just stop growing it? Should we ask those sugar farmers to grow something else, something that we really need that's more beneficial to us, like some of these herbs and spices? These herbs and spices can be extremely beneficial to the health of the human body. We have receptors for a lot of this, a lot of the herbs that we've been kind of talking about. If you remember back a few months, we talked to a few people about curcumin and its benefits and how it comes from turmeric. And I can imagine that eventually we'd be running out of turmeric, and then all these scientists would try to create that in a lab somewhere, when really maybe that would be a better option for these sugar growers. I know very little about farming, but what I do know is that you can farm something else, and you can get used to farming something else. And just because India has an overabundance of sugar doesn't mean that we need to make changes to accommodate that sugar, unless we're going to use it for fuel for our motor vehicles. Yay! So that was kind of interesting too. This article here is from February of 2015, again from the New York Times. And they are talking about, in this article, nutrition panel calls for less sugar and eases cholesterol and fat restrictions. So we've got some movement in that direction. The first paragraph is here, a nutrition advisory panel that helps shape the country's official dietary guidelines eased some of its previous restrictions on fat and cholesterol on Thursday and recommended sharp new limits to on the amount of added sugar that Americans can consume. So we're slowly moving in that direction. I became aware of this fat problem a couple of years ago as I went to a course in Park City by MacArthur, come on, Kay MacArthur, and his name always escapes me, but either way, I went out to that course, and there were a few people talking about fats and how important the fat was and how crazy it was that we're just eliminating it all. And every health, downward health trend can be traced back to the time when our gut dietary guidelines made this huge shift away from fat, and that is a big issue, I think, right now. And it's nice to see that our Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which only convenes every 5 years, is following the lead of other major health groups like the American Heart Association that in recent years have backed away from dietary cholesterol restrictions and urged people to cut back on added sugars. So that's added sugar is one of those mysterious terms that we don't have a good handle on. That whole movie Fed Up was talking about added sugars, but then they switched it up to say, you know, there's sugar in the fruit juice and there's sugar here. That's not added sugar unless there's added sugar. To me, added sugar is something that's not part of the constituents of the original food. So orange juice, for instance, has a pretty high sugar content, fructose, and together it makes a healthful drink. But you add that same amount of sugar to another beverage and you're in different kind of trouble. And that kind of reminds me too of all of these little like Crystal Light that you put into these water bottles. The body needs water. It shouldn't have to work hard to get water. And if you're adding stuff to water, you're not getting water. So, although it makes the water more palatable, I think we'd be better off just drinking straight clean water, whether it's from a bottle or not. This BPA argument is just so much craziness. I don't want to be known as a fear monger. I don't think there's enough BPA in those bottles to make a big, huge difference. If that's all you're drinking, then maybe it will. Again, it goes into a level of moderation that is very foreign to the United States. We don't operate on that level. So, that was something else that caught my attention recently. And here, this is another study. Oh, look at me. I was just all about the New York Times in the last couple days, I guess. Coca-Cola funds scientists who shift blame for obesity away from bad diets. So you got to wonder about all of these things when you put them all together, right? Because we just heard this story here of artificial sweeteners are not as horrible. And now we have Coca-Cola funding a pile of researchers to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe it isn't about the diet. Maybe it is about something else. And yes, I think that that's probably true, but it comes from the sugar in the first place. What we know about epigenetics right now is that this amount of sugar that we're eating today and this pile of chemistry that we're having ingesting into our bodies, whether by eating it or drinking it or even breathing it in, is going to affect our generations, at least two generations away. And of course, we don't know any of this stuff, or we don't care about any of this stuff till way past our age of having children, which is an entirely other problem. When you're 23 years old, it's very unlikely that you're going to be into this level of care about what you're doing to your body and what you're potentially doing to your offspring's offspring. So I don't know exactly what to do about that, and I hope that someone's addressing it. But I think the most important thing that we can do as grandparents is to help our children understand this difference so that they can make better choices for their children, and hopefully we can get this under wraps. It just reminds me again of the Pottinger's cat video that I was reintroduced to recently. You can find that on YouTube, Pottinger's, P-O-T-T-E-N-G-E-R, Pottinger's Cats, and how it took five generations of cats on good diets to finally get a healthy litter. So, and people don't have litters as fast as cats do, so it's really... It's kind of scary right now about this epigenetic thing and how important our food is and how those crazy nut jobs from the 40s and 50s that were all screaming about our diet at the time are not kooks, and they were right, and we should have listened, and oh my God, and this is going to be horrible, and you know, just on and on and on. So I hope that everyone that's listening here can help relay that to their children. And before you have children, if you're a woman, clean things up, man, because you're going to be damaging future generations. And whatever your parents did naughty, if they drank too much or ate too much sugar or ate too much in general or lived too much of a stressful life or blah, 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 and all this stuff, that's going to impact the future generations. And there are things that you can do to make that change. A few years, was it 2 years ago now, I did a special on autism, and I interviewed Dr. Brighton Baby is what he created. And he created a huge book. It's got to be over 1,000 pages on how to get pregnant healthy, or healthy pregnant. And I was thinking at the time, oh my God, how is it that hard to be or to get pregnant? And now I guess I get it. Our environment and the food that we eat and the mystery food that we eat and our choice to have something to eat instead of food is really impacting future generations, and it's showing itself in a bunch of places. And if nobody is taking a step back and putting all these pieces together, we may be missing a lot more than what we think. The number of young women who are going in for fertility treatments is crazy high. Crazy high. And this is... or this may be a feature of a lot of different things that we've been talking about for quite some time. And when we talk about all of this stuff, we have to remember that the teeth are also included in this, that oral care and oral hygiene and the amount of teeth and the room that the teeth have is affected by all of this as well. When I was down in Chicago and followed Dr. Boyd around for a half a day, he made that very clear. I made a comment about little people, you know, small 5'1" people marrying these 6'2" people, and how there's just no room for the teeth. He goes, that's impossible. That's like saying your ears are too big for your head. And that the teeth will have enough room in the jaw if the jaw is big enough. And the problem is that the way that we are living and the epigenetics of our ancestors, where things were highlighted or de-highlighted, in their genetic material has been more of an impact than anything else, and that we need to incorporate a larger, we need to figure out a way to get the jaws to be bigger, not that there's too many teeth. And I think this idea of too many teeth is what led to, or too what big a teeth, what led to this big push in orthodontics from the 70s all the way through to, I don't know, day before yesterday, to take out teeth because there's too many in the head. And obviously, when a parent looks at a kid's mouth and says, oh my gosh, look at those teeth, they're too big, let's take some teeth out, they're going to be really satisfied with that. And it doesn't have to be. We can expand the jaws to accommodate the teeth, and that is a better way to go, a much better way to go, as we talked about airway and all of this other thing. So this sugar thing and the diet is not just about melting your teeth. This is about whole health and sustainability of our species on the planet. It's really kind of come down to that. I was listening to a podcast yesterday by Tim Ferriss, and he was interviewing somebody from Wired magazine. I'm so bad with names. I'm so sorry. But he was talking about the biggest threat right now globally that nobody's thinking about. And he said underpopulation, and that we're not sustaining our population levels. And what are we going to do when there's, you know, we can't have enough people to take care of what needs to be taken care of? Because right now, you know, we're at capacity. And it just makes me it just makes me cringe when you think about that, where people are having fewer and fewer children, and the people that are around have epigenetically been affected to not be able to have children. We really do have to wonder what's going to happen in the future. Oh my God, what a downer. Oh, this is terrible. So that's the sugar show. Thanks for joining me. It's a little bit short today, and that's okay, because I don't want to waste your time. So have a great rest of the day, and I look forward to meeting you at conferences throughout the country. If you'd like to have me come and speak at your conference, please contact me at shirley@crosslinkradio.com. And I look forward to having a lot of these episodes shared and finding your name as one of the subscribers at crosslinkradio.com. Have a great rest of the day.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.
Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Kutkowski, in my guided mastermind. Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up.